How is your hearing? Do you need hearing aids? Well, do you have them? Do you wear them? Those of you who do have them, you probably know that most of them can be controlled with an app on your cell phone, and you can hone in right to the focus of the source of the sound and tune out a lot of the background noise in the process. That's really handy in a restaurant, let me tell you. Good things. But here is a question that's more important than how is your hearing. The question is, how is your listening? That's different. I don't believe that there's an app to help with that, at least not yet. Listening is a skill. Listening is a gift. Listening is an activity. Listening is an attitude. And we all need help with those things. We need to work on them. Have any of you wives ever said to your husband, "You're not listening to me"? Oh, I see the faces. Well, it's not just spouses that say that to one another. Sometimes brothers and sisters say that. Sometimes good friends might say that. Sometimes politicians might say that. Sometimes pastors might say that. And there's a reason. The people who study such things, and believe me, there are people who study interpersonal communication. People like that say that there is a condition that the closer you feel to a person, the less likely you are to actually listen to them carefully. This is real. It even has a name. The name of the condition is closeness communication bias, CCB for short. The closer you feel to that person, you subconsciously begin to think that you already know what they're probably going to say, and so your brain just turns off. Isn't that ironic? It's like when you drive the car down a familiar road, and you've driven it so many times that you've stopped looking at the scenery, you stop looking at the buildings, you stop looking at the road signs, you just, your brain takes a holiday, and you just get there. But when I ask you how is your listening, I'm not talking about the kind of listening that is processed by your brain. I'm talking about the kind of listening that's processed by your heart. Over and over and over in the Bible, God says, "Listen to me. Listen to me." In Deuteronomy 32, he even said, "Listen, O heavens, heavens, and I will speak." It reminds me of the quasars and the pulses that they've discovered coming from the stars. Some kind of radio frequency. Maybe that's God talking to the universe. Maybe he's speaking. In Numbers 9, God said, "Our forefathers became arrogant and stiff-necked. They refused to listen." In Isaiah 51, there's a triple directive. It says, in verse 1, it says, "Listen to me, you who pursue righteousness." And in verse 4, it says, "Listen to me, my people." And in verse 7, it says, "Hear me, you who do right." In Matthew 17, at the transfiguration of Jesus, they heard a voice from heaven saying, "This is my son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased." Listen to him. Listen to him. And in John 10, Jesus made it very clear, "My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me." Once again, let me ask you, how is your listening? When it comes to God, When you read God's word, and I assume that you do, when you read God's word, do you listen for his voice to speak to you through it? When you pray to God, and I assume you do, do you only hear your voice, or do you listen for his voice when you're praying to him? Do the ears of your heart need a hearing aid? And does it need to be adjusted to the source? If so, Isaiah has something to say to you. He wrote this in chapter 50, verses 4 through 5. The sovereign Lord wakens me morning by morning, wakens my ear to listen like one being taught. The sovereign Lord has opened my ears, and I have not been rebellious. I have not drawn back. So I challenge you, I urge you, ask God to help you listen for his voice. Now, I want to suggest something this morning. I want to suggest that we need more than hearing aids. We need to have our ears pierced. It used to be the only women did that, and then guys started doing that. I don't get it, but they did. I read about a little girl, 5 years old, five-year-old girl, who wanted to have her ears pierced. And she was insistent with her parents, I want my ears pierced. So her mother took her to the store to have her ears pierced. And they pierced the first ear, and the little girl was shocked to discover there's pain involved. So she decided she didn't want to have the second ear pierced. And her mother said, oh, honey, you have to have them both pierced. And she's talked her into it. She said, I'll get you a treat afterwards. So the little girl gave in and had both ears pierced. I remember when my Elizabeth decided to get her ears pierced. She was, we'd been married only a few months. She was in her early 20s, and she had avoided that pain for a little over 20 years. But she said this to me. She said, the prettiest earrings are for the people who have pierced ears. I see you women nodding. And she said, I want those earrings. So she went for it. She got her ears pierced. And then she went out and she bought herself some pretty earrings. And they really did look nice. But when she was not wearing them, I did not like looking at those holes. I wanted her to complete the purpose for doing it in the first place and cover up those holes. Now, you may be wondering where I'm going with all this. Well, I'm going to an amazing story in the Old Testament, Exodus chapter 21. Let me read it to you, beginning in verse 2, and listen carefully. If you buy a Hebrew servant, he is to serve you for 6 years. But in the seventh year, he shall go free without paying anything. If he comes to you alone, he is to go free alone. But if he has a wife when he comes, she is to go with him. If his master gives him a wife and she bears him sons or daughters, the woman and her children shall belong to the master, and only the man shall go free. But, here it comes, if the servant declares, I love my master and my wife and my children and do not want to go free, then his master must take him before the judges. He shall take him to the door or the doorpost and pierce his ear with an awl. Then he will be your servant for life. Now, please don't be distracted by the part of that story that talks about owning another human being. But listen with your heart to the message of that passage. That Hebrew servant worked for 6 straight years for his master. And then in the 7th year, he could go free. Free! But if he had learned to love his master and his family, and if he wanted to stay with them and live with them, he could. But the proof of his love was to get his ear painfully pierced. He would have to allow a nail or a spike to be driven into his flesh, into the wood of the door or the doorpost. And there would be a large hole there that everyone could see. It meant that he was marked for life as belonging to that family that he had grown to love. Brothers and sisters, it is a picture of what Jesus Christ did for you and for me. He became a servant. He could have gone free at any time, but he loved us. And he wanted to stick with us. He wanted to stay close. And because of that, they took him to the wood of a cross. And they drove nails and spikes into his flesh. And those piercing wounds are proof of his divine love, his desire to stay with us. Hallelujah. It's overwhelming. And it leads me to ask myself, am I willing to have my flesh pierced in order to prove my love for him? Are you? Okay, let's go to a different story. This one's in the New Testament. It's buried in all the drama of the Garden of Gethsemane. And it's a story about a man named Malchus. And this is yet another remarkable story with rich implications. We read about it in both the Gospels of Luke and John. Now, here's Luke's version of the story, Luke 22, beginning in verse 47. While Jesus was speaking, a crowd came up, and the man who was called Judas, one of the 12, was leading them. He approached Jesus to kiss him. But Jesus asked him, Judas, are you betraying the Son of Man with a kiss? When Jesus' followers saw what was going to happen, they said, Lord, should we strike with our swords? And one of them struck the servant of the high priest, cutting off his right ear. But Jesus answered, no more of this. And he touched the man's ear, and he healed him. This is John's version of the same story. It's shorter, but it gives us some more information. John 18, verse 10. Then Simon Peter, who had a sword, drew it and struck the high priest's servant, cutting off his right ear. The servant's name was Malchus. Jesus commanded Peter, put your sword away. Shall I not drink the cup my Father has given to me? Talk about a painful ear piercing. Who was this man, Malchus? Well, both Luke and John tell us that Malchus was the servant of the Jewish high priest. Who was the Jewish high priest? Caiaphas. And Caiaphas was a member of the Sadducees. And there are a few things about the Sadducees that are very interesting. For one thing, they were wealthy men. So Malchus, the assistant to the high priest, was a well-dressed, proud man. Wherever Caiaphas went, Malchus was right there with Caiaphas, standing right beside him, looking rather regal, probably. And you can be sure that Peter saw Malchus and Caiaphas many times together all around Jerusalem. And for another thing, the Sadducees did not believe in life after death, nor did they believe in the spiritual world, you know, angels and demons and that sort of thing. And they definitely, emphatically, did not believe in miracles. Malchus had undoubtedly heard what was going to happen in Gethsemane that night, and he was probably sent there by Caiaphas to be a spy in the whole thing. And boy, was he ever in for a surprise. He lost an ear, painfully, but even bigger surprise, Jesus healed his ear and performed a miracle. And remember, Malchus was the servant of a Sadducee. They did not believe in miracles at all, and yet he experienced one right there. You can disbelieve miracles all you want to, and that does not mean they don't happen. They do, even today. And you know what? There are people in this room who've experienced miracles in your life. And I invite you to let me know when you want to stand right here and bring a testimony to that miracle or miracles in your life. God wants you to do that. He wants you to share it. He wants you to build the faith of your brothers and sisters in Him. Not in miracles, in Him. So I challenge you. I'm expecting to get a lot of phone calls and texts. And also remember this truth that Jesus clearly spoke in Matthew 19. He said, with God, all things are possible. Was that just for those days? No. Jesus touched and healed the ear of his enemy. And that's just underscoring the truth of the proof of his perfect love. Perfect love. And do you realize this? That was the last miracle that Jesus performed just before the crucifixion. He healed a pierced ear. Is it possible that there's a hidden message in there somewhere? Is God trying to remind you and me that our tongues, our eyes, our ears are connected to our hearts? Are you listening? Jesus touched and healed the ear of a man who thought that he was spiritually superior to everybody else. I wonder what Malchus had to say to Caiaphas after he went back. I would love to have been part of that conversation. I'd love to have heard it. I wonder what Peter thought when Jesus healed Malchus, right after he had supposedly protected the Lord. I wonder what the other soldiers thought when they saw this. Did they try to explain it away like, oh, it didn't really happen? I've seen that happen in my life. I've seen a miracle in front of my eyes, and I've seen people say, oh, that didn't really happen. It's incredible to me. Or did some of them finally realize that Jesus was who he said he was? Hallelujah. I wonder what I would have done if I had been part of that drama. I wonder if I would have reacted in anger and violence with a sword like Peter, or if I would have responded with any amount of grace like Jesus. And I ask you to take those two questions and own them. What do you think you would have done? Are you a person who reacts or a person who responds? There's a difference. What triggers your anger? And when it's triggered, how do you express it? Do you spew it out on everybody around you? And everybody knows you're angry? Or do you pray it out in such a way that people can see Christ in you? I believe that Peter loved Jesus with his whole heart, but I believe that Peter pierced the heart of Jesus that night when he reacted so strongly with Malchus. Jesus was probably thinking, Peter, Peter, have you not heard anything I've been saying? Haven't you been listening to me when I say, love your enemies? And pray for those who persecute you. Or perhaps Jesus was thinking about a conversation that he had with Peter just a few hours earlier, that same night in the upper room in what we call the Last Supper. We read about it in Luke 22. The disciples were arguing with each other, who's the greatest here in this clan? And Jesus rebuked them and he said, they should be more like servants than people in authority. And then Jesus turned to Peter and he said, Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift you like wheat. Was Peter listening with his heart when Jesus said that to him? This was Peter's response. Lord, I'm ready to go to prison and to death for you. He even boasted that he had not one, but two swords to take with him that night. Well, I guess he meant it when he said he was willing to go to prison, because he attacked Malchus right there in front of the Roman guards. And they probably would have arrested him right there and put him into prison if Jesus hadn't interrupted everything and performed a miracle right before their eyes. It was just a few hours later that Peter became a coward and denied Jesus three times. Satan was at work. Just as Jesus had warned, and Peter was listening to Satan's voice. And that's the problem. That's the challenge. To whom do we listen? If you think about that story and Peter's reliance upon a sword, think about what Paul said in Hebrews 4, verse 12. He said, for the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword. Piercing, there it is. Piercing, the word of God, piercing to the division of soul and spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and the intentions of the heart. That is the sword that God wants you to use. His holy word. Are you listening? Are the ears of your heart open? Revelation 2:7. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Exodus 15:26. God said to Moses, listen carefully to the voice of the Lord your God, and do what is right in his eyes. Brothers and sisters, I want not only to listen for God's voice in my life and in your life, but I want God to heal my ears and yours whenever they need it. I want him to pierce my ear as a proof of my love for him. I want to say to God what old man Eli said to young boy Samuel when he said, go back and say, speak, Lord, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. Open my ears that I may hear voices of truth thou sendest clear. And while the wave notes fall on my ear, everything false will disappear. How is your hearing? How is your listening? How is your heart? Let us pray. Lord, the more we get to know you, the more we know we need you. We are weak, Lord, and you are strong. So touch our eyes and our tongues and our ears and our hearts and use them for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.